Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. The message tonight, the hour of the power of darkness. The hour of the power of darkness. Luke 22, and we'll begin in verse 47 and go through 54. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Opportunity to be in your house here this evening in the middle of the week, Father, and we just ask that you would feed us from your word here tonight, Father. And I just pray that our hearts have been prepared to receive your word here tonight, that we may be drawn closer to you and better equipped to serve you. And again, Father, we pray for those that need your help physically, that, Father, that you would be with each one, that you would encourage their hearts, give them the help and strength they need, Father. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 22 and verse 47, and we'll go through 54. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and what?
The power of darkness.
Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. You consider all the things that are happening in our nation. And a lot of our folks are facing, have faced, or are facing sickness right now, our missionaries. It's a hard hour. And tonight, if you're taking notes, number one, in the hour of power and darkness, there will be unnatural behaviors. Number one, in the hour of power and darkness, there will be unnatural behaviors. You think of Judas. He had walked with Jesus for three and a half years. Jesus had met his needs. Judas was trusted. He was the treasurer. And what an unnatural, strange thing when Judas would betray the Lord Jesus. It's strange indeed. I just read about a woman, and maybe you did too, but she was sentenced to life in prison without parole. She decided to take a 10-day vacation, and she left her toddler in a pack and play. Can you imagine leaving a toddler, no adult around, in a pack and play and taking off for 10 days? Well, when she got back, the child was dead, and the judge was furious at her. And he mentioned what an unnatural thing it was that she did. He pointed out normally a mother is so concerned for the well-being of her children, but to leave a toddler for 10 days with no one, no food, no water, no one to care for the child. How sad. But what the judge evidently does not know is that that type of behavior is going to become much more common in what we're facing today. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And verse 45. Ezekiel 16, 45. And we're going to read here about the situation. Ezekiel 16:45. Thou art thy mother's daughter that what? Loatheth her husband and her children. Now, to loathe means to look on with hatred and abhorrence. It's not natural for a wife to look on her husband with hatred, and especially not on her children with hatred and abhorrence. That's from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. From Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, to loathe means disinclined to abhor. I see the mothers around here with young children, and I don't see any hatred. I see a lot of love. And I see the other people around those babies, and they're precious. But not in verse 45. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite and your father an Amorite. Well, what was the situation like? Well, drop down to verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister, who? Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. We see these women, they didn't care about their husbands. They didn't care about their children. Verse 49, they didn't care about the poor and needy. What was going on in their lives? Well, that's just it. Nothing. It said, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. We're seeing that today. Ever since COVID, people were paid to stay home, and now it's like you can't get them to work. Places are struggling to get workers. They don't want to work. It's the day and time. And in verse 49, sodomy fits right in with that, the sin. So this judge, he threw the book at this woman. He says, you left your daughter confined in the pack and play, no food, no water, no one to care for her, and she died. And he said, so he was confining her to prison for life without parole. He says, the thing about you is that at least we'll be giving you food and water, which you didn't do for your daughter. How sad. But, with the judge, I have news for the judge. Things are going to get worse than that, because this is the hour and the power of darkness. Has the judge forgotten about abortion? This woman did a heinous thing in taking off for 10 days, leaving her daughter. But what about abortion? Where is the motherly inclination there to want to kill the life that has begun in the womb? Should we be so shocked that this woman that wants to go on vacation for 10 days because for pleasure? And they said that, of course, they monitor your calls from jail. And in jail, she was talking to people on the phone about what a great time she had. I think it said she went to Puerto Rico and, I don't know, some other places. And what a great time she had. Isn't that why the same thing that why people get abortions? Because they want to have fun in life and they don't want to take care of children. Just like that woman wanted to have fun for 10 days and not have to care for her child. That's the same reason people get abortion. Only they want a lifelong of pleasure. They don't want to take care of children. They don't want the responsibility. Why aren't the judges confining them then to life in prison without parole for the murder of their unborn children? It's a unnatural day. Notice in Romans 1, the Bible tells us that the sin of sodomy is an unnatural sin. So why wouldn't they commit other unnatural sins? You know, the thing about sin is that it always takes a person farther than they wanted to go. It always takes a person down further than they ever thought they would go. That's the problem with sin. It knows no depth. In Romans 1:26 through 32, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the what? Natural use into that which is what? Against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the what? Natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, there's so many of these sodomites that and liberal churches that welcome them and perform these sodomite marriages. You know, some of them, they maintain, we love God. Well, the Bible says here, someone with that mindset has not retained God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of who? God. I don't care how much a sodomite wants to maintain they love God. The Bible says they are haters of God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without what? There again, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but what? Have pleasure in them that do them. You know what's driving all this gender change surgery in children? And I've read about that. It's the people that are involved in the gender changes. A lot of them are sodomites. It's a personal agenda. They don't care about the children they're mutilating. What they care about is pushing their unnatural lifestyle on the world. Is that not what they did in Sodom? They come beating at Lot's door. Bring the two men, which they didn't know were angels, bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Later on, the elderly man and the man and his concubine, same thing. Bring the man out, that we may know him. They always want to push their deviant, sinful, wicked behavior on everyone else. That's the problem. Can you imagine what a judge like that is going to say another step down the road? Because the other step is coming. Well, what is that? What's the step that's coming? Well, look in Deuteronomy 28. The Bible tells us, you know, it gets worse. It gets worse than leaving a toddler in a pack and play for 10 days and the child thirsting, starving to death, and whatever else may have been the cause of death. But in Deuteronomy 28:53-58, and thou shalt what? Eat the fruit of what? Thine own body. The flesh of who? thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Yeah, that's coming. I mean, Israel faced it at one time, and it'll come. It'll come. Because that's part of the tribulation period is famines, plagues. And people in that time not only desert their children, they will eat them. What would that judge, what would he say if the police came to her house and all there were is bones in that pack and play, and the mother had eaten her child? Well, that will come. The power of darkness. The Bible tells us here that's what they would do. Verse 54, so that the man verse 54, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward who? His brother. Can you imagine having to watch your back around your brothers or sisters, wondering if they were going to be cannibals? I mean, right now in Haiti, some of that is going on because they're trying to scare other people. And so they're not only killing their enemies, but sometimes eating them. Toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom. Can you imagine that, wives? That your husband is so hungry, he would kill you and eat you? And toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward who? Her husband. It's not only the husband looking at his family to eat them, but the wife, the husband of her bosom, and toward her son and toward her daughter. Can you imagine such a wicked thing going on? And yet, in the hour and power of darkness, that's what I say, sin knows no depth, no depth. Verse 57, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of what?
This law
that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Sin knows no depth. So, number one, in the hour of power and darkness, there will be unnatural behaviors. Number two, in the hour of power and darkness, there will be betrayals. Back in Luke 22, betrayals. Luke 22:47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? There will be betrayals in the hour of darkness. Notice in Matthew 24 and verse 10. Matthew 24:10. We should not be surprised by these things. God told us it was going to happen. Matthew 24:10. And then shall many be offended and shall what?
Betray
one another and shall hate one another. Mark 13, verse 10. Mark 13:10. We'll go through verse 13. Verse 10. In the gospel, must first be published among all nations, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall what? Betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So in the hour of power and darkness, there will be betrayals. Number three, in the hour of power and darkness, there will be people trying to fight it with physical power instead of spiritual power. Back in Luke 22, you know, as these days come upon us, you know, you might listen to some survivalist or some patriot, and sometimes, you know, these people are just, they're looking to be ready to fight this hour of darkness physically. Maybe they've got enough rounds in their house, you know, to fight a war themselves, or maybe they've got enough survival food, and they've got enough guns to guard their survival food. I've always wondered that about people that say, yeah, you know, you better have 3 months, 6 months, or whatever worth of food if something happens. But what are you going to do if all your neighbors don't have 3 or 6 months worth of food? Do you think that people are not going to break into houses? Are you going to kill everybody? You know, what are you going to do? In this hour of darkness, it's not just a physical battle. Luke 22:48, which we read there, in verse 49, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with what? Sword? This was the hour and power of darkness, and they were ready, and we know Peter's the one that cut off the guy's ear. They were ready to fight this spiritual battle with a physical sword. Verse 50, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him. We need spiritual power in this hour, not just physical power. And we need to remember this lest we get disillusioned. And that's what happened to the disciples. It's like, okay, we're ready to fight this hour of darkness physically. And Jesus heals the guy. And I mean, they're just disillusioned. They take off. They have no clue what's happening. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. You know, we need to be careful too. As you see from, you know, they're still going on with trials about January 6th, people breaking in the Capitol. I don't condone breaking in the Capitol, but where are all the trials for all the people that burned down city after city and all the riots? Did anybody end up in jail? I haven't read about one of them ending up in jail. What's going on? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in what? The Lord. And in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, the disciples didn't stand. They ran. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. That's the problem. I'm a patriot. I love our country. But there's a lot of patriots that love our country that don't love God. And they're going to be really disillusioned. A lot of them already are. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against what? Powers. Against the rulers of what? The darkness of this world. Against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. People keep saying, well, you know, this person is behind this that's going on, and this person is behind that. You know who is behind all these dark, wicked plottings and evil? It's Satan. It's a spiritual battle. You know, I think of many years ago, Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. I believe he was in Pomona, California, heard on radios across the nation. But it got so expensive to live in California, let alone it's so anti-God, the government there. But he moved it to Colorado Springs, Colorado. He moved his whole outfit there. And you know, one of the most wicked states right now, believe it or not, is Colorado. They're the ones that are taking the Christian bakers to court because they won't bake cakes for sodomites. And then the Supreme Court stands up for them and they come right back anyway at this baker. Colorado is just like off the deep end. And my point is this, Dr. James Dobson tried to get all people who just cared about children to stand up for some things. And there are a lot of unsaved people that will stand up for children. But the thing that was missed is this. Unless people get saved, unless they get born again, unless they have a change of heart, nothing's going to last. Haven't we seen enough? Yeah, we can do political things and get temporary changes, but haven't we seen just what happens? You get one president in and he'll write a bunch of executive orders and we'll say, yes! And the next president will get in and reverse all of those with his pen. And we'll say, oh, no. Why? Because there wasn't a change in the hearts of the American people. Most every week we're out there knocking on doors. You know what? Hearts haven't changed. And so if you're going to fight this battle politically, be prepared for a roller coaster. It's a spiritual battle. We've got to realize the answer is Christ. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Each individual getting saved and yielding his or her life to Christ. That is the answer. And there is no other. Apart from God, there is no hope for our nation. Absolutely no hope without Christ. We're too far gone. So in the hour of power and darkness, there will be people trying to fight it with physical power instead of spiritual power. And in the end, they'll be just like the disciples. They will not stand. They will run. Number four, in the hour of power and darkness, truth and justice will fall. In the hour of power and darkness, truth and justice will fall. We are seeing that in America. In our highest law enforcement in the land, truth has fallen. Justice is no longer done. Notice in Luke 22, in verse 63. Luke 22, verse 63, and the men that held Jesus, what? Mocked him and smote him. Wait a minute, you can't do that. You can't smite Jesus. He hasn't been convicted. Pilate the judge three times said, I find in him no fault. You can't smite him. Guess what? They did. They did it anyway. Why? Because truth had fallen in the street. Justice ceased to be done. Verse 64, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that to a prisoner. But they did it anyway. They blindfolded him. They struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Notice in Isaiah 59, Isaiah 59, you know, unless we get grounded in the Word of God, there are some people that are going to come unhinged pretty soon in our land. They've about had it with one-sided justice. But let it not be us that come unhinged. Let us have understanding. What's going on? Isaiah 59:14. And judgment is what?
Turn away back.
That is what is happening right now. Judgment is turned away backward. And justice, what?
Standeth afar off.
Oh, we could sit here and talk for hours about how justice is not being done. For truth is what?
Fallen in the street,
and equity cannot enter. Truth is fallen in the street. There are so many things I've read. People just delving into the January 6th videotapes. It is so frustrating. But we need to understand this is the power and the hour of darkness. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Verse 15, yea, truth, what?
Faileth.
Who can you trust in high places to tell the truth? Who? And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. That word prey is not praying to God, P-R-A-Y, it's P-R-E-Y. P-R-E-Y is prey, like when one animal preys on another, kills it. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, the person who does right becomes a prey for the evil and the vicious. But then it says, and the Lord what?
Saw it.
That's why we got to keep in the Word of God. The Lord sees what's going on. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Is there any intercessor? Maybe we need to take some time out from reading the news so much to praying. God looks for an intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of what?
Vengeance.
That's whom vengeance belongs to. It's God. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with what? Zeal as a cloak. That's what, when he had cleansed the temple, it referred to his zeal. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from what?
The
West, and that is what we need tonight. We need the fear of God in the West. That's us. That's our nation. We need the fear of God. So I pray that we would understand what's going on. And back in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6. If you get frustrated reading the news, just pray. Turn the news off. Pray. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who?
The Lord
and in the power of his might, the power of his might. Verse 18, what's the first two words? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Lord is the answer. And you know, people were talking about Jesus. When's the kingdom going to come? When's it going to come? And he says, the kingdom cometh not with observation, for the kingdom of God is what? Within you. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is sure not sitting in the White House of America, but he can be sitting upon the throne of our hearts. The kingdom of God is within you. We can be joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So we can have joy. We can experience the kingdom of God. We can allow him to rule and reign in our hearts. So we don't have to be taken by the hour of darkness. We can still be used of God in this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts tonight that we can have joy, that we can experience your kingdom if we will allow you to rule in our lives. Lord, help us not to try to fight this battle physically, but help us to fight it spiritually with power, because vengeance is yours. You will repay, saith the Lord. And Lord, we just commit all of these evil, wicked, vile people to you. Lord, we pray that they would repent and get saved, and that you could bless them, and that they could lead our nation in truth, in equity, in justice. Father, if they will not repent and turn to you, I pray that you, the one who puts down leaders and raises up others, I pray that you would raise us up some godly leaders that you could bless and that you could bless our land. We pray for your help. We pray, Lord, that you would please rebuke the devil and his angels. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn.